Buddha often used images of gradual practice. Or gradual change. To illustrate the path of practice. It's one place where he says it's like a set of stairways. You go from one step to the next, without jumping up a whole set of stairways. There's another word he talks about, the floor of the ocean, gradually getting deeper and deeper, till it finally hits a precipice. Another passage is where he talks about developing virtue, and then once you've got your virtue, you develop mindfulness, contentment, and from mindfulness and contentment, you work on the hindrances, develop concentration, and finally develop discernment. Which makes it sound like you have to perfect one step before you can get to the next. But you have to remember that even the perfection of virtue, or the point in the practice where virtue is perfect, is when all eight factors of the Noble Path come together. First stage of awakening results in that you have completed all the work you have to do in terms of virtue, but you still have work to do in terms of concentration and discernment. Now, that doesn't mean you didn't work on concentration and discernment to get there. You needed them both. After all, they're there in the path. Which means you can't wait until your virtue is perfect before you work on meditation. All three parts of the training help one another along. So you don't have to wait until your virtue is perfect or you've got loads and loads of merit before you even start meditating. You start in right now. And you'll notice as you work on the meditation that the more virtuous you are, the more you can exercise restraint in the course of the day, the more you can be generous. The other good qualities that you develop throughout the day are going to help you in the meditation. And the fact that you're meditating makes it easier to develop those good qualities. It's like washing your hands. Your left hand washes your right hand, and your right hand washes your left hand. That way they both get clean. So as you're sitting here, don't worry about how much you've completed the other elements of the path. Focus on the ones that you're working on right now. At the same time, when you're going through the rest of the day, you're not sitting with your eyes closed, you're engaged in other activities. Keep asking yourself, what's the skillful thing to do now? And try to bring some sense of ease with the breath into all your other activities. It'll make it easier to do the skillful thing. To step back from unskillful mind states that pop up and where you get upset, or you get flustered, angry, whatever. You'll have more resistance to those mind states. So it's in this way that all the elements of the practice help one another along. And the whole day can be a practice, or devoted to the practice of developing the mind. Developing the mind. There's a passage where the Buddha says that someone who is stingy cannot attain the noble attainments, can't even attain jhana. But he also says that the quality of your generosity will grow as your meditation advances. In other words, generosity helps your meditation. Your meditation makes it easier to be generous in ways that grow more and more large-hearted. It's particularly true when you're working on the developing working on developing the Brahma Viharas. John Lee mentions that the Brahma Viharas are food for your precepts. And that's how the Buddha presents them as well. There's a passage where he talks about reflecting on the fact that you've made mistakes. In the past, you've broken the precepts, harmed other people. He says the proper attitude to have toward that is that you should realize that you can't go back and undo the mistake, and sitting there stewing about it is not going to help. So you resolve that you're not going to repeat the mistake, you're going to exercise restraint in the future. And then you develop the Brahma Viharas, unlimited goodwill, compassion, empathetic joy, equanimity. This helps to ensure that you're going to stick with that resolve to exercise restraint. Because if you really feel goodwill for other people, you're not going to harm them. If you feel goodwill for them, then when you see them suffering, you want to help. That's compassion. If you see they're already happy, you want them to continue to be happy. That's empathetic joy. If you realize there's nothing you can do to help them, or a situation that you're encountering yourself, then the kindest thing is to develop equanimity toward the things you can't change, which frees you to focus on the things you can change. So goodwill underlies all four of the Brahma Viharas. It's the essential one. It helps your precepts, it helps develop concentration. The Buddha talks about the levels of jhana that you can attain by developing goodwill and other Brahma Viharas. And if you do it right, it's also an exercise in discernment. Because you can't just sit there beaming out nice thoughts and think that's going to take care of the problem. You get up from meditation, go out and see that somebody has done something outrageous. If you haven't really thought the matter through, your immediate reaction is going to be to get upset again. You have to understand that goodwill doesn't mean that you're going to like people. You simply don't want them to meet with harm. You want them to meet with true happiness. You've got to learn how to develop that attitude in a proper way. That means both understanding the principle of karma and also understanding how you fabricate feelings in the mind so that they really are genuine. This is where the Brahma Vihara practice leads to discernment. Part of the discernment is also there in the exercise of equanimity, realizing when it's appropriate to develop equanimity as an act of kindness to yourself and to others. And when you then, as opposed to when you focus more directly on the other Brahma Viharas. But you also have to understand what it means to wish for people to be happy. You want them to do things that lead to happiness. It's not like you're pretending you can take a magic wand and wave it over their heads. They'll immediately be happy. That's not how it works. The principle of karma says if you're going to be happy, you have to do things that are skillful. So if you want to imagine people being happy, you have to imagine them doing skillful things. Being generous, being happy and being generous, being happy in exercising restraint. And if it's not too much of a stretch, think of them being happy meditating. In the Metta Sutta, in the Sutta Nibbata, where the Buddha talks about how to express a thought of goodwill. He doesn't simply say, may all beings be happy. That's part of it. And he goes through all the various categories, long, middling, and short, seen, unseen, big and small, But he also says, may all beings not despise anyone. In other words, may they not create the causes for unskillful actions. So you have to think about cause and effect. And you realize that if the people you don't like could actually understand the causes for happiness, the world would be a much better place. This is why you can't have your likes get in the way of universal goodwill. Goodwill is one thing, liking and disliking other people, that's something else. We're not pretending that everybody is okay or everybody is nice. We're simply realizing the world would be a much better place if everybody understood the causes of happiness and would act on them. And that's something you can wish without feeling hypocritical. It's not make-believe. So that's one area in which you start developing right view in the process of developing goodwill. And then you take it further, this ability to develop a feeling of goodwill that you really feel down into your bones. How are you going to do that? You can't simply repeat goodwill phrases. There's more to a genuine feeling than that. As the Buddha said, you fabricate things, you fabricate your emotions through the breath. That's physical fabrication. Verbal fabrication is directed thought and evaluation. And there's mental fabrication, feelings and perceptions. It's a good way to start. With the Brahma Viharas is learn how to breathe in a way that feels really good. You have to have some sense of well-being within yourself before you can wish it for other people. Well, John Lee's image is of a water tank. If there's no water in the tank, then you open the faucet and all you get out is air. In other words, you have to have the water of well-being inside in order to offer it to other people. So you work on breathing in a way that feels really good. And you use your directed thought and evaluation, the verbal fabrication, to help with that. But they can help with other processes as well. You can start thinking about if there's someone out there that you really have trouble feeling goodwill for, why it's in your best interest to develop goodwill for them. One of the images the Buddha gives is of a person walking across a desert, hot and trembling, coming across a little tiny puddle of water in a cow's footprint. They're realizing that if he's going to drink the water, he's going to have to get down on his hands and feet and slurp it up. If he tries to scoop it up with his hand, it's going to get it muddy. So he said very carefully, he put his mouth down on the ground, slurp up that little bit of water. Notice your position in this image. You're hot and trembling. You can't afford to focus on the bad points of other people, because that's going to get you even hotter, thirstier. Your goodness is going to just burn away. You look at the human race and not see that there's anything good out there. There's no reason to treat people kindly because they're all selfish or whatever. If that's your thinking, then you're going to make it harder and harder to develop your own goodness. So your goodness requires that you think about the goodness of other people, no matter how little it may be. It's not that you're pretending it's a lot, but you have to focus on it, realizing that there is some goodness in these people. You don't have to wait for everybody to have Buddha nature. Just a little bit of goodness is enough to nourish your own goodness. Because it's not a question of they're deserving your goodwill. You need to develop goodwill for your own well-being. So learn to think in these ways. Hold these perceptions in mind. And you can develop a more and more genuine feeling of goodwill. A feeling that's not threatened by the fact that other people are going to continue to act in sometimes really outrageous and horrible ways. Because when you see them acting in horrible ways, you've got to have compassion for them. They're creating the causes for suffering. So as you develop these thoughts of goodwill, you're giving yourself a stronger foundation for your own virtue, creating a stronger foundation for concentration, and gaining some practice in understanding this process of fabrication, which is what discernment is all about. See how states of mind are fabricated, how emotions are fabricated both in body and mind. Get more and more sensitive to how this process takes place. So it's not the case that you work on virtue and then when it's all taken care of, then you move on to concentration, and then when that's all taken care of, you move on to discernment. You work on developing the mind in such a way that all three parts of the training work together, help one another along. So even though the process is gradual, it's gradual in the sense that all three develop together. So keep this point in mind. As you sit down to meditate, you're working here, developing your concentration. It's not only concentration that's going to get developed. If you learn how to carry the concentration into your daily life, you're going to gain help with your virtue, looking after the precepts, and help with your discernment. So learn not to compartmentalize the practice. Remember, it's all of a piece, and all the different facets of the practice help one another along.